Ezra chapter 6 and verse 21, it says, "And the children of Israel were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat." Now, go down to chapter 7 and verse 6. "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, which was his God upon him." Now down to verse 9. "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him." Verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Now go down to verse 27. "Blessed be the Lord God of our father, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." Now go to chapter 8 and verse 15. Chapter 8 and verse 15. "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of a Levi." Now through to verse 18. "Then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shimeaha, and Elnathan, and for Jerob, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, also for Joirib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Edo the chief at the place Casaphia. And I told them that they should say what they should say unto Edo and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Casaphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mahali, the sons of Levi, the sons of Israel, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. Now down to verse 21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all our substance." Down to verse 23. "So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." Verse 22. "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." Verse 31, down to verse 31. "Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem, and the hand of God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way." What I'm going to preach on tonight is the good hand of God. It says here over and over on Ezra's mission to rebuild Jerusalem, and in part of this whole thing in concert with Nehemiah, to see the Jerusalem, the walls rebuilt. He says over and over he knew something was doing this that was bigger than him. He knew that in order for him to go forward with this project, the good hand of God was upon him. It was upon him. And folks, there's nothing in all the world that is more important for us in whatever we're doing, in whatever you're calling, than to know the good hand of God is upon you. Wherever God has got for your life and whatever you're doing, is to know the good hand of God is upon you. I love that saying. And, you know, I'd like to think that in whatever God leads here with Beulah Land Baptist Church, I'll tell you, it's one thing. I want to know that the good hand of God is upon me. I want to know the good hand of God is upon this church. I want to know that the good hand of God, I want the confidence that He's in it. He's got His hand on it, and it's going to go. Because if the good hand of God is upon it, it is going to go forward the right way. The good hand of God. Now, the good hand of God will always give you give you favor with the right authorities. That's one thing that is evident when the good hand of God is upon you. His hand will give you favor with appropriate authorities. You know, it's amazing when the good hand of God is upon you. You know, you can go and you can try and do things and you can try to open doors for ministries, and it just seems like, you know, sometimes it just, for some people, it just doesn't work. It doesn't open. And then other times, you know, you can go and you can try. You go and when God is in it, it's like the doors just open. You know what the difference is? The good hand of God. The good hand of God is upon you. You see this here in chapter 7 and verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. You know what? The good hand of God, it gave him a favor with the authorities. The king. And this king was not a Jewish king. He was not. But he found favor with what Ezra was doing. And he said, let's beautify the court of Jerusalem. Now, go back to chapter 6 and verse 22. Chapter 6 and verse 22. And kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. Hey, they kept the feast of unleavened bread. Can you imagine eating unleavened bread for 7 days and there being joy? There's no yeast in unleavened bread. These guys, 7 days they ate unleavened bread. The joy was because the good hand of God was upon them. And when the good hand of God is upon you, there is joy. Folks, when the good hand of God is upon a church, there is joy there. If the good hand of God is not upon a church, there is no joy. It is just as evident, the good hand of God, and that's what he's saying. They did eat for 7 days. They had the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days, and there was joy there. For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them. The king of Assyria, not the Israeli king, not the northern king, not the king in Jerusalem, not the king of God's people. This was a heathen king. This was the king of Assyria. And he says he turned the heart of the king. That was God that did that. God turned that heart because of the good hand of God upon Ezra and upon Nehemiah and upon that work that they were doing. That work. And then the king strengthened their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. That's amazing. I just love stories like this. I love the book of Ezra. I love the book of Nehemiah to see how God worked. And you see Nehemiah, you know, looking at that despairing situation at Jerusalem, and he gets a burdened heart. He says, we're going to do something. Somebody's got to do something. And he plows forward. And it was the good hand of God upon Nehemiah as well. Oh, listen, nothing in all the things that you go to accomplish, make sure that you seek the good hand of God upon you in your going forth. And when He does, you'll be amazed at what God will accomplish in you and through you. But wait upon the good hand of God. I'll tell you one thing. When Nehemiah and Ezra, before they started this project, they waited. They wanted to be sure the good hand of God was upon them before they went forward. The good hand of God. Chapter 7 and verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. You know how God fulfills His will? You know how God fulfills His purpose? You know what He does? He puts something even in the heart of an unsaved king to accomplish the will of God and the purpose of God. I know we get all distressed about what's happening in the United States with Obama and all this stuff. I mean, boy, I was in North Dakota last week and you hear all those farmers and those people that were coming from different places in North Dakota, they're concerned. They're distressed over what's going on down there. But you know something? There is a stressful side of it, and there's a distressing side of it, but we have to remember, God is in control. God is working out His purposes. And God can make President Obama do exactly what He wants him to. And what he's doing down there, the fact that he's been ordained and taken the position of leadership in the United States of America, I really believe is right exactly the guy that God wanted doing what he's doing to accomplish what he's accomplishing for the big picture of what's taking place. You see, the Assyrian king, it was God that put it in his heart. God's people are amazed here. They're amazed at this in verse 27. They said that he has done this. 7 verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which had put such a thing as this in the king's heart. He says, God did that to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. He said, this man, this Assyrian king, it's in his heart to beautify God's city, Jerusalem. It was in the heart of the Assyrian king. And God's people are just amazed that, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, they're saying, that God has done this thing. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into, and the king granted me, notice the last part, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Isn't that amazing? Now, chapter 2 and verse 18 of Nehemiah. Chapter 2 and verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Look it down at verse 20. Verse 20 of that chapter. Then answered I unto them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. They knew that this building going forward was God in it from beginning to end. And you know, that's what we need to know too. God is in it. And the good hand of God is upon us. If the good hand of God is upon us, if we have that sense, we can go forward with confidence. And we need to know and that the good hand of God. And they were, Nehemiah and Ezra both, in this massive mega project of going back in after the captivity, the good hand of God was upon them. Well, the good hand of God will give you favor with authorities. He will give you mercy in journeys. You know, we often pray for somebody that they're traveling. We just prayed for Brother Wilson in his travel down. He's going down because his father-in-law just had a stroke. So they had to take off the other day. They're driving right straight to Maryland. And, you know, we pray that he'll have safety. Well, chapter 7, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You know, they were going in very undesirable times. I mean, there was robbers and thieves and enemies and bands all along the way. It was dangerous traveling. But it says that they got there in the fifth month, came he to Jerusalem, because of the good hand of God upon him. Listen, what I'm saying, if God's hand is upon you, you're going to get to where you're supposed to go. You're going to get to where you're supposed to go. You're going to accomplish the purpose he has for you. He's going to get you to where you're supposed to go. You know, sometimes we get stressed out. Where does God have for me? Where am I supposed to be going? Where am I going to end up? Where is God going to take me? What is my life going to be? Listen, you just wait upon God. Do just like Ezra here in verse 10. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. He just said, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be the best I can for God. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be in church. When the church's doors are open, I'm going to be the kind of a Christian I ought to be in my workplace. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to keep my heart clean with God. And I promise you, the good hand of God will be upon you. And He will lead you, and you are going to get exactly where He wants you to be. He's going to take you. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. I just think of these two, Paul. I just came back from Harvey, North Dakota. And Pastor Paul Dick, young guy, is taking over the church there. And I think I already shared this probably. But Brother Dick, you know, I mean, he's 28 years old. Single pastor. 500 miles away, 800 miles away, there's a young girl serving God, doing the best that she could do. And she never was the kind of girl that, you know, I never strike with Kara. She never was looking to try and get married. She didn't want to, you know, she wasn't out pursuing, following this guy, hoping this guy would call her and all that. You never got that sense in her life at all, in her character. And then one day, I get the message. I hear, Paul and Kara have connected. And next May, the 29th, they're engaged to be married. You know what I think? Isn't that marriage? I think the good hand of God. The good hand of God. That's what we want. Oh, listen, there's nothing better in a marriage. There's the greatest way to get started in all your life. The good hand of God to be upon your marriage. And He'll get you. What I'm saying, if you got the good hand of God upon you, He will get you safely to where you are to go. You will fulfill the purpose He has for you. Okay? Okay, not only will He give you favor with authorities, not only will He get you to where you're supposed to go, with the good hand of God upon you, you will also bring the right person into your life. Chapter 8 and verse 18. And all the girls say, boy, that's the one I want to hear. And all the guys say it too, maybe. That's the one I want to hear. That's not what I'm going to... That, it could include it, but here. Chapter 8 and verse 18, it says this. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Malchi, the sons of Levi, the sons of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. You know what it was? They were in a place where they needed help. And they needed the right help. They needed the right people to fill the jobs that were to do in this big task. And in verse 18 it says, and by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding. God brought them the right people to fulfill the needs. You know, sometimes you think, how are we going to do it? Tent meetings, pastoring a church, doing all these things. You know, at times it does, you just start, when you start thinking of it yourself, it won't happen. But when you look to God, and you can get your thoughts and you lift your burdens to God, and you cast your burden to God, there's not a doubt in my mind that God will bring the right people. God will add the right people at the right time. If the good hand of God is upon us. The good hand of God. You know, it's the same in your business. It's the same in your job. You know, I used to run a business. I know what it's like to have a business and a job. You know, and you think, sometimes you think, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do all this? How are we going to accomplish all this? All you do is you take that burden to God, and the work piles up and the bills pile up, and you think, this is not good. I'll tell you, you just need one thing. You need the good hand of God upon you. And He'll bring exactly what you need at exactly the right time. He might test you for a while. He'll test you for a while. But God will bring it. But the key is having the good hand of God upon us. Good hand of God. Okay? With this good hand of God, there may be seasons of good and evil. Job chapter 2 and verse 10. There may be seasons of good and evil. Now, Job is going through a real test here. A real trial. Of course, no test like the trials of Job. None of us have had these trials. But, you know, I know Christians that have come close. Boy, they've had some unbelievable afflictions come into their life. Horrible afflictions and trials come into their life. But here, Job's trials and afflictions come into his life, and he says in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "But he said unto her," that was his wife, by the way, who wasn't exactly encouraging him at this point, she said to him, she said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Speaketh what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Is in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? What he is saying here, you know, it's not always going to be good. He says, "Does God? We can't expect it every day to be a day filled with the blessings of God." He said, "There's going to be days when there's going to be evil. Shall not the same God who brings good allow evil into our lives from time to time to prove us, to try us, to mold us, to make us, to try us, and to make us the kind of men and the kind of women we need to be? There's no other way than to be tried and to be tested and to be proven through times of evil." And Job passed the test. Job passed the test. We'll never amount to anything for God if we don't go through trials. If we don't go through trials and afflictions from time to time. And that's what he is saying here. But listen, if the good hand of God, he says, "Shall we receive good only?" Listen, there was days in Nehemiah's life, it wasn't all that good. There was days in Ezra's, but they had gone through that in the Babylonian captivity. They were prepared. They remembered those evil days. And God had proved them and tried them and made them and molded them for the purpose that laid before them to rise up and build the greatest project, probably, that Israel had ever faced, coming back and rebuilding after those days. It isn't all going to be good. It isn't always going to be great. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be testing days. Okay? The good hand of God will mean we have to seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. 16, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." The wise in heart, verse 21, shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instructions of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Listen, that's a wise man. He says in verse 20, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good." Good. Oh, listen, are you the kind of guy, are you the man, the woman, who seeks wisdom before you move forward? Are you the type of person who seeks after wisdom? We have pages and pages and pages here that teach us the wise way and the foolish way. The wise man and the foolish man. The wise woman and the foolish woman. The wise son and the foolish son. The wise and the foolish. All the way, that's what the whole book of Proverbs is contrasting. Wise and foolish. And he's saying, if you want good in your life, you want the good hand of God upon you, if you want a path of goodness, you want to see the goodness of God in your life and your future, he says, "He that handleth a matter wisely will find good." That's a promise from God. How do we get wisdom? How do we get that? How do we find this wisdom? We get down on our face before God and we say, "Lord, please, please give me wisdom to know what we should do in this matter." And you know, somebody said this one time about finding God's will in a matter. If you've got a hunger and burning heart to do something, God will probably not just give it to you. He'll wait. He'll try you. He'll prove you. And He'll make you wait for a while. He'll make you wait upon Him. And He'll bring you to the place where you don't really know or care one way or the other, which way it goes, and then He'll manifest His will to you. What I'm saying is you better know how to seek wisdom to find the good hand of God and to have the good hand of God upon you in everything you do, in your business, in your family, in your future. Know the secret of seeking God's wisdom. Now it says in the book of James, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Let him ask of God. We get it from God. But there's another place that we get wisdom. You know where it's another place that we get wisdom? It's seeking counsel. When we are lacking wisdom and lacking direction in something, you know, sometimes we can't get all the answers. You've got to go to people that are wiser than you, people who've gone through the experience before you, and you say to them, "What should I do here? What do you think I should do? And they might not have the exact answer for you, but I'll tell you, I'll bet you they'll say something that will help you. That's one thing that I have tried to do. I have tried through my life as a Christian. I have tried to seek the counsel of men older than, wiser than myself as I have gone through step by step through life. What do you think here? What do you think I should do here? How do you think I should handle this situation? How do you think I should do this? How do you think? What do you think I should do with this? And I'll tell you something. It pays off. He that handles a matter wisely will find good. Wisdom to have the good hand of God upon you. Having God's hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 18, we're done. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. You know what the good hand of God, Solomon is saying here as he contrasts vanity with wisdom? Vanity with wisdom. He's saying that the good hand of God is revealed to those who fear Him. He observes something in his years as the wisest man in all the earth. Is men and women who fear God win in the end. Win in the end. Fearing God. Keeping Him first. Preparing your heart to seek the Lord. That's how Ezra was. And you know what? The good hand of God was upon them. There's nothing we could want more than to know the God who made the universe, the God who made the 200 billion stars in this little galaxy, and made 200 billion galaxies outside the galaxy that we're in, and who made all that there is in the earth and above the earth, the God who has the wisdom to do all that, to have His hand upon us. His good hand is the greatest blessing that you can have. And that's what I want for this church. That's what I want for every person that goes to this church. I want to see and know in your lives, your future, your family, that the good hand of God is upon you. And that's one thing a church should help a great amount in directing and having, knowing and directing and helping you know that God's hand is with you. God's hand is directing you. And you know, we're all going to get there. We're all going to get there. I mean, it might seem a little overwhelming sometime with some of the pressures and some of the things and some of the brick walls and some of the mountains. But I promise you, you keep close to God, you seek Him, prepare your heart to seek Him, His hand will be upon you. And His hand will direct you. And His hand will prosper you. And His hand will bless you. I promise you. Not because I, because He says it. He will do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray for Your good hand upon this church. We pray, Lord, when I say this church, it's Your good hand that we want upon every family in here. We ask and pray, Lord, that You would direct and guide and bless in these families, these homes, and Lord, that we might know the prospering and blessed hand of God in everything that we do. Lord, even in the bad times, when the tests come and the trials come and the disappointments, we could still see through and know by faith that Your hand is working all things together for good. Lord, help us all to be in that place where we can witness Your good hand. We commit the direction of this church, Your blessing. We just ask for Your blessing upon it. We ask for Your blessing upon the right man to be here, to lead and oversee and to guide and direct in the days ahead. And Lord, we love You. We want to serve You with all our heart. We want our families to grow up to love and serve You. Lord, we want this church to glorify Your name. We want that more than anything else in all the world. We want the Holy Spirit to put His blessing upon every service, every song service, every preaching service. But, oh God, help us to be those ones that fear the Lord and to prepare our heart to seek after God every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.